even before I became a mother, doing that, becoming involved in neighborhood Bible studies, attending church and Sunday school, back then it was Sunday school, memorizing scripture. I took an Avenir's course, and we had a lot of scripture to learn in a discipleship class. So that happened, and David often was doing those same things with me, becoming parts of a small group where the Bible and spiritual growth is a primary emphasis. And of course, prayer is another discipline. Alone, regularly having prayer, time alone with God, with others, with prayer partners, and everywhere I've lived, the Lord has given me a prayer partner. And there have been different people along the way, of course, because I've lived in several different places. Using music, piano playing, singing, reading through the old hymn books. And I asked him if we could sing some of the old hymns this week. And I thought, now that you've got a grandmother here, we might sing some of those old hymns. And I still like to do that. Gave our piano away to our youngest son a year ago in the summer, but I still enjoy piano music, and then I'll sing along with the songs on Pandora. And going on retreats, alone sometimes, but also retreats like this, because it affords you the opportunity to be in community with other women who want to grow in their faith and get to know the Lord better, become more intimate in their walk with Him. And then besides that, I would say times of crisis have been an important time when I have really deepened my walk with the Lord. And as I'm talking, I think you're probably thinking of times in your lives too, right? Where difficult things, when there have been mountains to climb, valleys to be in, to go through. Some of the crises that I experienced were my mother's sudden death when I was 26, and I wasn't, I'd just been with them on Thanksgiving back in Indiana, and at that time David and I were living out in New York State in Syracuse, so we'd just gotten home and got a call that mother had died, and she was only 52, so that was a huge surprise, and she'd been the strongest spiritual mentor in my life. Then two miscarriages after we had our first child. I taught 3 years while David was at Purdue graduate school. And then, my glass of water, my bottle of water is right there. Okay, thank you. So two miscarriages, and then 10 weeks of being in the hospital before our last child was born because I had placenta previa. And Dave was left, maybe he would say that was a real stretching time for him because he had two preschoolers at home. And that was a time that God used to help me really focus on Him a lot more, those 10 weeks in the hospital. And that will be, let's see, that child will be 40 years next weekend. Thank you. And then we adopted a baby girl right in between. I had two miscarriages. So we adopted a little girl in the middle at 10 weeks old, and just thoroughly loved her and continued to. And when she reached her teens, she experienced some anger, some probably things that come out of being adopted many, many times. And we thought we were being loving parents, but this didn't work as well as Stephanie, so I think God used that. I know He used that in my life. It helped me become stronger in my trust in Him. And then when she became 19, she made that choice, and she was pregnant. And so, before she was married, and didn't really love with the guy, and did not choose to marry him, that was a hard time, too. God used that to bring her back to the family. I became her coach. So His grace is sufficient in all those things. And then there have been a few difficult relationships along the way. And I needed to go to the Lord with them. So those things have been stretching. Now, most recently, of course, has been the sudden loss of David, and experienced the change of my life, and to put my to allow Jesus to be my closest companion. And that was in January, so it's been 9 months ago. And I have seen him meet needs that I didn't, in a way that I could not imagine. Calling on him in the middle of the night and crying out to the Lord, and he's right there. So those are things that I would say that have really helped teach me these. When I say 60 years, you know, I was a child all the way up until college, I guess. So I would say more like probably in the last 50 years. Yeah.
It's quite a journey.
I'm still on it.
So, not that you haven't had a lot going on already in your life, but what's your passion now? What do you see as your passion in life right now, where God has you?
Well, the Lord is helping to develop what his purposes are for me yet, and I'm still very open to his leading. Dave and I both had a calling to be missions mobilizers in the last 30 years. So I have a very strong interest in global missions, local mission, people who, unlike us nearby, people unlike us far away. But I would say that really my greatest passion is to love the Lord Jesus more and more, to know him better and better, and then as an outgrowth of that, love others as he loves me, as he loves. And that's what this retreat will be all about, to love Jesus and love others, to obey the great command, to love the Lord with all our soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that's, I've kind of, as I thought about it and prayed about it, I've decided that the best way we can show the Lord that we love him in that way is to be fully surrendered and trust him. So that's what we're going to talk about this week. And I know that's not a new word to any of us, but I pray that it will be a kind of a renewal, a recommitment to surrender to him. And we'll talk quite a bit more about that. Okay, Mary?
Well, I will give you the stage, and we're not going to let the rain stop us, so we'll just listen much more intently.
I can already tell there's some people here that go to bed early just like I do. So we're going to have to maybe stretch a little bit here.
All right. Well, here's your water. So
thank
that
you.
Way you
can That'll help. Thank you very much, Mary. Okay. I consider it an honor to be here. I really do. I'm going to stand up now because I think that would be better to, since it's about my bedtime. Yeah. I don't think you have to worry about being here too long. Tonight we're just going to kind of have a little bit of an overview, I think, to get an idea of what we're going to be doing tomorrow twice. You know, it's just great to get together and get to know each other better in a setting when you're going to be informal, and that's one reason I wanted you to get closer to me. And when you can talk with some people that you don't talk to when you're at church on Sunday morning, or you're, Dave and I haven't been in a small group for a while, and I'm not in one right now, but I understand there's some really active, great small groups, and some of you women have talked about that, so I'm seeing where the Lord will lead in that area too, for me. But I do consider it an honor to be here, and I think it's especially meaningful that you would have a woman who is kind of more, the grandmother. How many of you are grandmothers, by the way? Well, there are more than I thought, perhaps. Yeah. But Carol and I are about a week apart in age, so I think we're probably pretty close to the most seniors here. So I think it's quite an honor to be asked, and I thank you for that. And I do thank the women for working with me and being willing to marry, because Mary has worked with me to put our journals together. And you will see that we have a white flag over here to remind us the whole time of the theme to surrender. I want to look at our journals, and it says, what shows God that I love him? And we want to be practical this weekend. We all know the great commandment, but we want to think about what makes it, how do we live it out? How do we do life with it? So let's look at our journals and actually read on the cover the Great Commandment. Now we find it in more than one of the Gospels, but we have the Gospel of Mark that we're taking it from. So who has a nice strong voice that would be willing to just sort of stand up and read that? Okay, would you do that please, Jane?
The one that's in here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then,
yeah, just so we can all, you can use my microphone if you get real close to
it. No, we're good. I'll hear it. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God.
Whoops, that's not the Great Commandment here. You know that. There we go.
The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
Thanks, Jane. Look at that last sentence and just read it with me. All of you. There is no commandment greater than these. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 22:40, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, these two commandments are not only primary, they actually capture all of God's written revelation. We're talking about hundreds of pages in the Bible. So, if Jesus is who he says he is, and he's been seen fit to hang the entire revelation of God upon these two commandments, doesn't it seem obvious that we should give some serious attention to what those two commandments are saying? So that's what we're going to do. Those are our primary, that's our primary verse for the whole weekend. Jane read the secondary one, and we're going to be, it's on the next page, and we will be doing it right now. Yeah, let's just go ahead and read those. So, Jane read that first one. Emily, how about if you read the one on page 3?
Okay. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your body to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Good, thank you, Sam. Thank you, Emily. Those two verses are going to be our primary verses. Well, the primary one is the Great Commandment. But the one about being a living sacrifice is going to fit in very well, as you can tell. So, you know, it's amazing that God invites us to love him, that he cares that much about us. You know, as I was reviewing the commandment, I was thinking about when David and I were first married. Maybe none of you ever experienced this, but I can remember saying to him, and it sounds sort of strange, but I said, are you always going to love me like this? Are you sure you'll always love me like you do now? I must have been a little catty and insecure. But it just was important to me. I never would have said that to a stranger, but I loved him so much, and I was wanting him to tell me, yeah, I'm going to love you. I will. I'll always love you, you know? And I think that it was a response that I really wanted, and I think the Lord, he doesn't see us as strangers. He wouldn't ask that of a stranger. He sees that at we are his daughters, and he chooses, wants us to love him in that way. He asks us to love him. And that is amazing when you think he's the, he is the Lord of the universe, the one who created the whole world, and he desires our love. So he doesn't see us as strangers, but as his daughters. That's humbling. And I think, well, is this too much to ask? And even to ask that question makes me feel pretty terrible. the one who really gave me life, abundant life, has asked that of me, to give my life back to him, to love him with my whole being. And I don't think we can ever in this life love him too much. We're still learning. We're going to spend our whole lives learning to love him better. Often, when I wake up in the morning, there's an old hymn written in 1805, and I used to just read the words, and now in the morning, before I even get out of bed, that old hymn sometimes will come to my mind, and it sounds like this. I love you, my Jesus, I love you, my Lord. I love you, my Savior, I love you, my God. I love you, and that you well know. But how much I love you, my actions will show. And it's a kind of song sometimes we might sing to our children, but it's a song that I think the Lord, we're his children, and we say we love him. And I think, Lord, am I going to show you the love like you deserve? Well, I actually show that we love God. Can you think of some things that show that we love him? The spiritual disciplines that I mentioned earlier, worshiping through song, through maybe dance, through just walking through the woods. That's one reason I like to come to this retreat center, because it's in the wooded area now. It's raining out there right now, and we won't take a walk in the woods tonight, but hopefully tomorrow we'll get a chance to be. It's nice to be out. We're in his creation, to worship him, the one who created it. Attending church regularly, praying regularly, being honest, keeping the Ten Commandments as much as we can, you know, being responsible, all these things, kind of the Cub Scout model. Well, that's an important list. But, you know, when we look at our passage that Emily just read, it says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice. Thanks, Mary. I believe that keeping the great commandment goes perfectly, that is going to come through our surrender and our trust. I think we are saying to the Lord, when we surrender our whole being to him and we trust him in every circumstance, that's the best way to show him that we love him. There's a definition, and I don't know what page it's on. It might be right away. There, it's right at the bottom of page 3. Just read it out loud with me. It'd be good for all of us to read, to hear our voices. Surrender is yielding your will to the Lordship of Christ because you have been transformed by the gospel of Christ. Maybe some of you are here and you're saying, well, I'm not sure what my relationship is with the Lord. And I think we really need to take a look at that before we even think about surrender and trust. So let's turn over to page 4. And you'll see there a little diagram that I'm calling the big arrow of life. I'd like for you to think tonight, when you go back to your rooms, or on the way back, or when you're having prayers, you go to sleep, Lord, where am I on this big arrow of life? We're all heading home. We're heading for eternity. It will come, and we don't know when. And you can see there, can you point to a time when you know that you crossed over from death to life? And I'm believing probably most of you have. I'm thinking probably everybody. But just in case there's someone that says, I'm not sure, then I would say before you go any farther than this retreat, tomorrow morning or even yet tonight, I'm over here in 102. So come and talk to me about it. And talk to somebody on the team or somebody that's, and just say, I want to be sure. I want to have that assurance that I am a child of God. That I have repented of my sin. That I have been, know that Christ came to rescue me and I am his child. So, you know, we can't really be surrendered until we have faith in him. So the faith comes before the surrender. I'm going to end pretty soon, but I want us to look here for tomorrow. We're going to do something in the morning, and you have a little homework assignment. And that is, I want you to listen as I tell you a little more about my own journey, and it's not going to be 60 years worth. but it's kind of my journey along this arrow of life. And I want you to think, as I'm talking, about your own journey. And I'd like for you tonight or tomorrow, early, if you get up early. But before we get together tomorrow, which is what time, Mary? You've got a schedule there from you when we come in at 9 o'clock. 7:30 is breakfast, but when we come in for that main session, because we're going to have some small groups and we'll have some prayer time together, and I want you to be able to have, want you to write down what is my identity at this time in my life. Well, don't start it right now, but you see up there on page 5, and I want you to think about who am I at this time in my life. We're all in a different place, and we need to know, who am I? You know, I met with a woman recently, and there's been no room in her 50 years for God. And she's been depressed, and she was sent by her doctor, said, why don't you go over and talk to Christian support team, who was there, and I was the one that was on that day. And she just said, she didn't know, she felt depressed, she's not happy here. She said, I moved here because of my parents. My husband doesn't spend any time with me, and I thought, my, and I found out that she's been back 5 times. Doesn't have a Bible, has not read the Bible, any part of the Bible. She doesn't know who she is. She's wanted to please people so much that she doesn't know who she is, and she's finding out she can't please people either. So we're working now on who are you, and who is God, and how do you relate to God. So what I'd like to do to try and finish up here is talk to you about something that happened to me a year ago July. And perhaps you remember, one Sunday in July, we were, Pastor Eric asked us to take a retreat, a solitude and silence. Do any of you remember that? He said take an hour, it was a year ago, this last July, take an hour and go someplace where you can be alone with the Lord and examine. And he had a whole list of questions, I forget how many. But there was one question in particular that I spent some time on. And I'd like to tell you, I spent 3 hours, not on this one question, but on all those questions. And the question that I want to reflect on now is, as I think about what God has been showing me about who I am, here's what I conclude at this time. So this will kind of go back and show you who I think I am. And I want you to be praying about and ask God to show you who you are. I am his child, and he is my father. I am secure in him. He still has purpose for me in this life, and he will have it until he takes me home. I'm not a leader. I'm not a visionary. I'm not a risk taker. I'm not an aggressive person. I need to be satisfied with who God made me to be, a helper, an encourager, a supporter, and a caring person. I love others, and I want to help them, especially help them see that Jesus is the one to follow and to please. I am a wife, loved by my husband. He needs my clear affirmation and respect, and I do greatly respect him. I am a mother of 3 adult children. I need to show and tell them I love them unconditionally. I need to pray for them regularly. I'm a mother-in-law. I need to show and speak my love to my daughters-in-law, looking for ways to edify and encourage them, and I need to pray for them. I'm a daughter and a daughter-in-law. I have a 95-year-old father, and Dave's mother's still living, and she's 96 here. I need to look for ways to show my love to my dad and David's mom, and have no expectations from them at this time in their lives. Now, I'm not saying I would do well with that. I need to be a good listener and provide comfort and hope. I'm a grandmother. Besides modeling Christ likeness, I need to pray for and affirm each grandchild, looking for ways to build them up in their faith. Write letters, call, text, and speak freely with truth and love. My life experiences, my position, and my age give me this privilege. I am an older woman in the Lord, so I am in the position to teach, to encourage, to help, to exhort, and be a mentor and friend to younger women. and that's most of you. I am 70 years old, but I am still in need of learning and growing as a follower of Jesus. I regularly need input from Scripture, from friends, writers, scholars of the Word. Scripture teaches me that God has given me everything I need for life and for godliness. I've been given the charge to go, and wherever I am going, to make disciples everywhere. I need to see others through the eyes of Jesus, lost without knowing him, and condemned to eternal hell, separation from God. This is my supreme mission in life, always be pointing others to Jesus, the Savior, the light of the world. I'm called to be a slave or a servant of Jesus, the Christ. I am undeserving, I am loved, and I am blessed. And the last thing, I am never alone. I thought I was writing about my identity now that I was turning 70 in January. But you know, God was gracious in preparing me on a new part of my journey, preparing me to be a widow. And I thank him as I look back, and I'm reminded that he was with me even in that July before Dave passed away in January. And he does that over and over and over, right? Okay, that's how we're going to kind of end tonight. I do want us to see, I wanted to think I was going to look over this a little bit more. I'm trying to think we need to read this. We can look over more tomorrow, okay. But your assignment is on jotting down where you see yourself on the arrow of life and why you kind of see yourself there. And then, what is my identity at this time in my life? And then we'd like to make a theme prayer that we're going to pray maybe from here or maybe in a small group. A theme prayer, one that comes from the book, a devotional book called 31 Days of Praise. And I have back there on that table a lot of books that I've read in preparation for this, and I have way too much material. And you're not going to get it all. But I would like you to take, feel free to look at them if you want to. Borrow one, you're welcome to borrow it. But there's one by Ruth Myers called 31 Days of Praise. And I think it's, is anybody familiar with that book? It's a wonderful devotional. I'm probably giving away, years ago. Bonnie used to work with David. I don't know if you knew that. And Bonnie knew David, not as well as I did, but she knew David pretty well. She even knew that David never bought a paperclip in his life.
I had to, before we threw away all the registrations, we had new old papers. So we had to buy them.
When I first. Sounds a little like a real skin flint, you know? But I could tell you, I realized when he got his job after he got his doctorate at Purdue and we went to Syracuse, I knew that, moving down our big house, you know, and it wasn't long until I realized that, no, this is not the way it's going to be. We make money so that we can save that money and send it to missionaries and send it to people who are doing ministry. And whew, I thought, man, I married this man, and I have to take a look at some different things about the way I thought life should be. But I look back, and after nearly 48 years of marriage, it was 47, 48 in October. God changed my heart too, and we became very much one in that. And God blessed us abundantly by being able to also give. And I don't think that was even for a part of tonight. So see, I'm going to get off the subject here. I'm going to stick to my notes. Does anybody have any questions about kind of what the expectation is for tomorrow morning when we have a little bit of a small group time? Okay, that's the last thing. It's on the back of your book, and here's a prayer from Ruth Myers, and you might want to write at the bottom. I think I told Mary to take it off because it looks so jammed, but you might want to write down there Ruth Myers or 31 Days of Praise, because I want her to get the credit. She's no longer living. She was a missionary in Singapore for years. Her husband died when she was 32 years old, left with her two young children. And instead of being crying, she wrote 31 Days of Praise. And I'll tell you, looking at things from God's perspective, not my own perspective. And it's a wonderful, wonderful scriptural devotional. This is what she wrote, her most basic act of worship. And I thought we'd close it in prayer together. And I think I'll read it tonight, and you can read it along, but we're going to have an attitude of prayer as we read it. Because this is, to me, this covers just about everything and that we need to surrender to Him. And I go back and read it very frequently. So thank you for your attentiveness, and I think we're going to get going. We're moving in the right direction. So let's pray this together as we end this. Lord, I'm yours. Whatever the cost may your will be done in my life. I realize I'm not here on earth to do my own thing or seek my own fulfillment or my own glory. I'm not here to indulge my desires, to increase my possessions, to impress people, to be popular, to prove I'm somebody important, or to promote myself. I'm not here even to be relevant or successful by human standards. I'm here to please you. I offer myself to you, for you are worthy. All that I am or hope to be, I owe you. I'm yours by creation, and every day I receive from you life and breath and all things. And I'm yours because you bought me, and the price you paid was the precious blood of Christ. You alone, the triune God, are worthy to be my Lord and Master. I yield to you, our gracious and glorious Heavenly Father. To the Lord Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. To the Holy Spirit and his gracious influence. All that I am and all that I have are to you. I give you any rebellion in me which resists doing your will. I give you my pride, self-dependence, which tell me I can do my will in my own power if I try hard enough. I give you my fears, which tell me I'll never be able to do my will in some areas of life. I consent to let you energize me to create within me moment by moment both the desire and the power to do your will. I give you my body, my each of its members, my entire inner being, my mind, my emotional life, my will, my loved ones, my marriage or my hopes for marriage, my abilities and gifts, my strengths and weaknesses, my health, my status, high or low, my possessions, my past, my present and my future, when and how I'll go home. I'm here to love you, to obey you, to glorify you. Oh, my beloved, may I be a joy to you. Amen. See you in the morning. Oh, I think Mary might have some things to say. Oh, Mary does. Mary B.
Can you just stop her it up?
Okay. So